This year, Georgia's legislative session may be one of the most challenging in history. Water, taxes, transportation, education, and health care are dominating the headlines. These issues call for leadership and skillful negotiations. Glenn Richardson's education and experience have helped him to prepare for this point in his career. He earned a bachelor's degree in political science at Georgia State University and then graduated with the university's first law school class. In 2003, Speaker Richardson was named Legislator of the Year. He was later elected to serve as the first Republican Speaker of the House in over 130 years. Please join me in welcoming the Honorable Glenn Richardson.
Well, good afternoon. I awoke this morning, and for a moment, I couldn't believe it had happened, but it just seemed to go by so quickly. The session was already over. And I know with certainty it was over because it was April. And in April, we'll be over. And it wasn't just April. It was a particular day in April. It was April 1st. I looked at my calendar, and here's how I know it's April the 1st. On my calendar, Glenn Richardson, it had me speaking at lunch to the Georgia Press Association. And I knew it was April 1st. And someone was playing a joke on me. Because surely my staff would not have scheduled me to speak at the Press Association. Well, I hope you can laugh with me about that just a little. I'm just having a little fun. I really, really love the members of the press that write good things about me. Both of you. And I really do like to submit to questions, and I do like to be pressed, but this job has really changed me a lot as to my concern for the state, because what I really am about is getting things done. And I become as frustrated as most people do when we don't get things done. And sometimes that frustration boils over, and I really do not understand. Because it seems to me we know what the problems are, and we know what the available solutions are. Why don't we just pick one and do it and see if it works? And that's what I'm here to tell you I intend to do this session. Because in 2008, yes, there's a lot of issues. Yes, there are a lot of tough decisions to be made, and I'm ready to start making them. We did that on the first day. We'll do it on the second, third, fourth, fifth, and we'll do them today in the budget. And when we get back on Monday, we'll make tough decisions. But the problems that we're talking about, sometimes I think that maybe we're leaving off the most important topic. We keep talking about water and transportation, very, very important topics. But I want to switch that today. And I want to tell you what I believe is the number one problem facing our state that needs to be addressed right now. Education. 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 You know, together with Representative Fran Millar, we've introduced a bill to try to do something about high school graduation rates. Now, we have made progress and increased graduation rates. We have. More people are graduating from high school today than just 4 years ago. But that's not good enough. You see, according to, and I want to give this, the Georgia Partnership for Excellence in Education, I'm told the best source for reporting information in the magazine that just came out this week, today in Georgia, 51% of our high schools are not graduating even 60% of the ninth graders. I'm going to say that again until it sinks in to you as deeply as it sunk into me. 51% of the high schools in the state of Georgia are failing to graduate. More than 40% of the 14, 15-year-old ninth graders that are Georgia residents. Why are we looking the other way? Why are we letting this go on? And why are we studying or discussing anything? It is not acceptable. We are losing a generation every year that passes. And some things we're trying to do is think outside the box and ask why. Why is this happening? I think one of the reasons it's happening is because for some reason, and let me just footnote this, because I don't want anybody to go out and say, the speaker doesn't want every kid to go to college. I want every student to have the opportunity to go to college and graduate. But the fact is, they're not. Only about 20% of those high schoolers in the state of Georgia will ever actually obtain a four-year degree. That means 80% are not graduating from college. If that's true, why don't we offer alternatives? Why don't we graduate those kids from high school with a technical and adult education degree, a skill that they can use in the workplace? And to that end, Representative Millar and I have adopted some legislation. You know, I'm going to have an acronym associated with it. You know why I have acronyms? Because I can't remember them. So I make up acronyms. I always forget what HOPE stands for, but no one has forgotten HOPE. We call it BRIDGE, Building Resourceful Individuals to Develop Georgia's Economy, because that's what it's about. It's about the economy and Georgia's success. Bridge. Why do we call it Bridge? Because I want moms and dads to know if their kids start down a college path and the ninth grade they decide to bridge over to go into technical and adult, that it's a two-way bridge. They can turn around and go back and decide to go to college. Or if they start down a career and technical path, there's a bridge and they'll get credit along the way and they can go back and forth across the bridge. No one is going to lose an opportunity, but we cannot continue to let 40% of the students in more than half of our high schools fail to graduate from high school. It's killing our economy. According to the Georgia Partnership, listen to these statistics. Just this week, their article reports the lost lifetime earnings in Georgia for the 2007 class dropouts totals more than $15 billion. For one class alone, the students that failed to graduate from high school cost $15 billion. Listen to this statistic. Georgia would save more than $746 million in health care costs alone for each class of dropouts. $746 million for each class of dropouts. Now then, $8 billion could be added to Georgia's economy by 2020 if minority students graduated at the same rate as white students. And let's take this issue head on. There is an unacceptable variation between the graduation rates of white students and non-white students. You see, too many of us live in communities where the graduation rates are in 80 or 90% range. And we turn our heads and we don't realize that down the street or across the state in another county, graduation rates are at 45 or 50%. And they're not majority white schools. They're minority schools. They're minority students, and we have got to do something about it. And we're going to put out a bill that tells our Department of Education we're going to change this. And we're going to change it by offering alternatives. And everyone cannot go to college and graduate, but we need to at least get them out of high school. I've seen some cost estimates recently, and I think they're a little inflated. But some of the cost estimates are to implement this program that we put out there could be in the hundreds of millions, maybe in $1 billion. And you know what I say? So what? We're already spending $10 billion on education. That's only a 10% increase. And it's worth the price to do it. And we've got to do something about it. And we've got to do something about it now. We can't have a 2-year plan, a 3-year plan, a 4-year plan, or a 10-year plan, because every year we plan, another class of high school students are dropping out. And it's time to do something now. By partnering with the Department of Technical and Adult Education, we can do it. We're going to do it. and we're going to have a bill on the floor of the House we're going to vote on. We'll send it over to the Senate and see if they're ready to vote on it whenever we get done with it. Now then, other issues that seem so important to us and are that we can fix, I think, rather easily. Water. You know, we had a drought. We went from getting 50 inches of rain to 26 inches of rain. And so we ran short this year. There's a simple way to fix it. Just as surely as it didn't rain in 2007, it's going to rain in 2008. And just as surely as it will rain again, it will stop again. But the next time it rains, let's stick some big holes in the ground, fill them full of water, call them reservoirs, and have it. Now then, is that going to cost us some money? Yes, it will. But the next time there's a drought, no one's going to say, I wish we didn't have those reservoirs. And that's the answer. The governor has led by putting some initial money in. We need to put more. And yes, I'm willing to bond it and let local communities build reservoirs that they own and control so that the next time we have a shortage of water, we'll know where to go get it. Trauma care and Grady. I think those go hand in hand. In the fall, I gave a signal to Grady that if Grady would step forward and make some changes, I was willing to help. I appointed a special House committee to look into this. They sat in on hours and hours of testimony and searched diligently for an answer. And I kept sending signal after signal after signal. Grady, it's time to do something. Grady, if you want the state to help, it's time to do something. Change, change, change. I kept thinking every day that when we got to January 14th, that Grady would have heard that if they wanted help, they had to help themselves. While steps have been made, not enough steps have been made. The governor has put a significant amount of money into trauma care, the lion's share of which will be earned by Grady if and only if Grady changes. I'm now prepared to go forward if Grady does not wish to help themselves and prepare legislation that will accept those monies that the governor's placed in the budget and accept the monies that I intend to have in a trauma care network if and only if they're in charge of Grady Hospital. I intend to give Grady this signal. A new board has been set up by this legislation. They have the money. If you're willing to change to this board, you'll get the money. If you're not willing to change, you won't. Period. It's time to quit playing games and to do something. The trauma network is really an interesting situation, and it creates a somewhat of an anomaly for me because Georgians are ready for a trauma care network. They want it overwhelmingly. And I don't talk much about polls, but I want to talk just a little bit about a poll to try to get this message out. The problem is everybody wants a trauma care network, but no one wants to pay for it. We did a poll last year and inquired of many items, and we asked Georgians what were their number one issues. And overwhelmingly, the same as the AJC found out when they did a poll, health care was the number one concern on most Georgians' minds. It just was above everything. But then we asked a question, and we presumed to the person, we posited this simple statement. Georgia is in a health care crisis with its trauma network, and emergency rooms are underfunded significantly. Which of the following items would you support as a funding source to fund trauma care in Georgia? First choice was a $200 increase fine on speeders. 29% said, yes, I support that. Then we said a $10 add-on for every car tag, and about 6% said, I'll support that. And then we said a $40 add-on to insurance, and another 10 or 15% said okay to that. And then we said a $1 per month add-on to every telephone line, and about, 20 or so percent said okay to that. And if these don't add up to 100, it's because I'm doing them from memory. It all does add up to 100 because I'm going to make a point here. And the last choice was, I don't support any fees, zero. 32% said that one. You take that 29% of the people that said they wanted to add $200 to speeding tickets, you know what that's code for, don't you? I'm not going to have to pay that. Nobody thinks they're going to be speeding and have to pay that. So that's the people that says, yes, I want to do something about trauma care, but I don't want to have to pay it. To the 32% that said that they didn't want to pay anything, and you find that even though Georgians overwhelmingly think health care is the most important issue facing our state, fully 60% of them want to pay nothing to do anything about it. Now, we've got to change that mentality if we're going to do something. But as a legislator, as a speaker, I cannot wait to change them. We just got to do it. And we've got to put in place a trauma care network, and we've got to put in place a funding source. And if we wait on consensus, we'll plan and study and never do anything. And so I have led for an effort and said, here's what we need to do. We need to add $10 for every car registration in Georgia. You see, most trauma starts with a car accident. And it just makes sense to put it on the registration fee. But if we wait till we get a consensus of Georgians to do that, we'll never do anything. And I intend to move forward with legislation that adds the $10 on every car registration in Georgia. And those who will call it a tax increase, those that share offices with me at the Capitol, shame on them. It is time to lead and set forth a funding mechanism for trauma care. And it's up to you to help get out the message that if you want health care, you have to pay for it. Last but not least, we're going to do something about transportation. And I'm going to say this until everybody gets sick of hearing it. When it comes to transportation, I'm willing to do anything except continue to do nothing. You see, we have done nothing, nothing, nothing. I support the new transportation commissioner, and I applaud her efforts to uncover all of the mismanagement at the State Department of Transportation. From what I understand from my reports from the new commissioner, we have no money. Hundreds, thousands of projects that have been promised to communities have no money. Yet only a few weeks ago, members of the State Transportation Board were parading around the state with big plastic checks showing money they were going to give to communities because they wanted to preserve their jobs. And there was no money behind those checks. It's time for accountability. We have a new commissioner. But under our Constitution, those transportation dollars and all those projects were approved by that board. And it's time for accountability. Someone on the board, the State Department of Transportation, needs to be held accountable. There have been billions of dollars spent and billions of dollars promised, and there's no money there to build transportation projects. And I want to know why someone didn't say something about this before 2 weeks ago. Why has it been hidden, and why didn't the board in charge of that know that? If these people were the members of a board of a corporate entity, they would be held accountable for the lack of money, and it's time to do that. But I think it's time that we do something that's been recommended by the House and the Senate. We have a special study committee. I want to give credit to Representative Vance Smith, the chairman of the House Transportation Committee, and Senator Jeff Mullis, the Senate Transportation Committee. They have been studying this all year long, and they're prepared to make a recommendation any day now. But the time for studying is done. The time for planning is over. The time for action is now. We should vote on a funding proposition and let the people of Georgia decide if they want to fund transportation or not. But we cannot wait for three more years. You see, this is 2008. And if you want to tag revenue and let Georgians decide, you have to do it now to put it on the 08 ballot. And if you delay, it'll be 2010. And from the time it's voted on and the money starts coming in, you can add 6 more months to it so that if we vote on something today, it would be 18 months before the first trickling of the money came in. And if we delay, it'll be 42 months. And I do not believe that Atlanta and the state of Georgia can wait 3.5 years to start doing something about transportation. It's time to do something, and I will promise you this. Together with Representative Vance Smith on our Transportation Committee, we will bring to the floor of the House of Representatives a proposed solution. We will call a vote and see if the House of Representatives is willing to let the people of Georgia decide. Well, as you can see, we're going to have a little bit to do between now and April the 1st, and it's going to be a busy session. But we are going to accomplish getting those issues to the floor. We are going to make tough decisions, and we are going to do what our job is. Yes, I know it's election year. Yes, I know that we ordinarily in election years don't take up a lot of tough issues. But you know what? I'm only elected through 2008. And I was elected to do a job, and I intend to do that job. And I expect every other representative and senator under the Gold Dome to do the exact same thing, regardless of whether we win or lose the next election. Thank you. I look forward to your questions. If they're really hard, I'm going to skip them. I actually wrote one myself. I have prepared a question over here for myself, and it says, no, I won't do that. Okay, here go the questions. Could you tell me who asked it first? No, it's okay. Go ahead.
They don't write those down.
These are anonymous questions. That's even better. All right, go ahead.
What's the status of the
and how will that help Georgia's high school graduation?
That's a, you know, I didn't even mention taxes. I thought y'all had heard enough about taxes. All the great plan is designed to do is change us from a system that funds local government and education through an ad valorem system to a consumption-based tax. That's how I got into tax reform. You see, one of the things that has always bothered me, and I hope it bothers you, is a kid born in one county in Georgia might very well get the best education in the state, and a kid born in a county 2 removed might not. Luck of the draw. Has your county got a lot of commercial and industrial or not? You see, we spend in some districts $3,000 per student and in others $12,000 per student to educate on the exact same curriculum. How can that be right? And how can that be fair? There's a suit pending against the state of Georgia now challenging the constitutionality of our method of funding education. And so if that suit were to prevail, we will have to change the system of how we fund education in Georgia. We can either collect property taxes at the local level and send to Atlanta as they do in Florida. They collect them locally, send them to the capital. Or we can come up with a different way of funding education. One that's a statewide-based sales tax. That's what I was trying to get to. The status of it is sitting in the Ways and Means Committee. I just had a meeting. We will probably have a hearing within the next week or two and advance the bill out. The bill has been modified rather dramatically, given all the pressures by local governments that they do not wish to change, while trying to slowly change from an ad valorem tax system to a consumption system. And how will that help high school students? Oh, my goodness. Right now, if you'll draw a chart, you can do a comparison. And I haven't even seen it, but I'll bet you this. I'll bet there is a direct correlation between those low-wealth districts and their graduation percentage and the high-wealth districts and their graduation percentage. I challenge somebody to do that for me and prove me wrong. But I'll bet you in those districts where we're only spending $3,000 or $4,000 a student, The high school graduation rates are lower than in those districts where we're spending $9,000 and $10,000 a student, and that's what it'll do different, because it is time to change how we fund education and treat all students as close to equal as possible. And that is what the great plan was designed to do. Eliminate ad valorem taxes and use sales taxes to fund education.
Reservoirs are fine, but they take a long time to construct. What about immediate and permanent conservation measures?
Well, we actually have to have a blend of conservation with reservoirs, but conservation measures are not going to help you in a drought. And I don't want to poke too much fun about this, but the amount of water that if we had all drank a gallon of water apiece here, nobody would have known it. Because no sooner would we, and this is a tad on the crude side, but if we had each drank a gallon of water, we would have left that somewhere in or about the city, and it would have been in the stream. And it's okay. It's okay that that's how water works. It's not a, you don't consume water. You borrow it. You borrow it. You do. I don't care what you say you do. It's going back into the stream. It's going to work. So we need to have some conservation efforts. We got a lot of waste in pipes that we could be using now. But conservation efforts will not dramatically change our what we need in the state. We can, obviously we can quit washing cars. But most car wash facilities are reuse. The answer on the reservoirs is a little simpler. Part of our legislation is we're going to make it one-stop shopping for permitting. And we're going to cut the time at the state level to get a permit to build a reservoir. And we're going to supply the money to go in and buy the land and build them now. If we start today, we should be able to have a system of reservoirs that are already in place made bigger. We ought to have a system of those in the pipe get through quicker, and we ought to have the plans in place to have more reservoirs across Georgia, I hope, inside 6 or 7 years. And frankly, I hope there's not another drought ever. But if we could have a little bit of relief from the drought for the next couple of years, I believe we can make substantial progress. One of the things that we can do really quickly is we can go into Lanier and Altoona right now while the levels are low, and we can get tractors and start moving dirt out like crazy and deepen those pools so that when it does rain again with the exact same dam structure, you can impound billions of gallons of extra water just by moving dirt out and putting dirt somewhere else.
You were against the appointment of Gina Abraham as DOT commissioner. What are your thoughts now about Ms. Abraham, the Department of Transportation, and the need for more transportation funding?
So I support Commissioner. Listen, I never had a personal problem with Gina Abrams. In fact, I like her a lot. She's a very smart, intelligent Georgia Tech engineer, a professor at Georgia Tech, extremely sharp. That was not the underlying issue. The underlying issue was I did not think and I still don't think that the executive of the state of Georgia should be able to name the DOT commissioner. I thought that the DOT board elected by the legislature should do that. I thought there should have been a nationwide search, and I thought there should have been an outpouring or a cry that we reach out and get the best person. And maybe it would have been Ms. Abrams, but I received a call the morning after Commissioner Lennon-Cole resigned and said that it had been decided. And I did not even know that Commissioner Lennon-Cole was going to resign until that call. So I didn't like the process, and I don't think the way we've set up transportation in Georgia constitutionally that it is an executive or legislative function. It's a modified legislative function because the legislature elects the DOT board. But the executive has absolutely no control and should not have any appointment authority over the DOT board. That's how our Constitution works. Now that she's in place, I think she's doing a great job. I never thought she wouldn't do a great job. But it's time to do something. I think Commissioner Abrams will back me up on this, that while right now they couldn't handle the money at DOT, if we vote on something by the fall and it comes in this time next year, she's prepared to spend the money on DOT projects and let's face it, if we don't have money, we're not going to solve transportation needs. It takes money to solve transportation problems.
Do you expect the state Senate to go along with the veto override approved by the House on the first day of the session?
If I knew the answer to that, I would go bet on the Super Bowl, everything I have. If I could predict what the Senate was going to do, I would be in great shape. You know, I only have one job to do, and that's to be a representative in the House and be the Speaker. I really don't have a prediction. I will say this. I'm disappointed. I'm extremely disappointed that a group of elected officials in a separate branch of government could not at least vote and take a public position. I think that's what we're elected to do. We're not elected to try to go along and get along. We're elected to do our job. And those same senators who have heretofore refused to vote, voted unanimously on all but one of those issues to approve that legislation. And I have to ask, why'd you vote for the legislation if you're not willing to put it in place? Have no idea what they're going to do. I hope they do their constitutional bidding. And the Constitution required. It's not a suggestion. It says the Senate shall consider those matters before taking on other business. There's been some discussion about what shall immediately consider means. Maybe we'll ask a fifth grader what it means. My suggestion as a fifth grader would say right then, not send it to committee, not delay, not deliberate, but for goodness sake, stand up and make a decision.
Are you concerned your disagreements with Governor Perdue will overshadow this legislative session or prevent major accomplishments?
That is a really good question. Yes, listen, I'm concerned that I'm going to say something wrong here. I'm concerned that I'm not going to smile right. I'm concerned. I am. I worry about this. I lose sleep over my demeanor, my spirit, my drive somehow castigating some impunity upon the body of the House. I worry about it. I stress over it. But I can no more change who I am than I can change who you are. I have passion and belief that a leader is supposed to lead on issues. And once the decision is made to take the course and quit vacillating. I'm friends with Sonny Perdue. I worked as hard to elect him as anybody I've ever worked for in my life. He chose me as his first floor leader. And he and I have shared some really tough times and personal conversations about life. And we're friends to this day. There are times that he and I disagree, and we have a similar spirit, a very strong spirit, I might add. Yes, I'm concerned that it doesn't appear that we're doing our job because I think there's misinformation. It is okay to disagree with elected officials. And it is okay to have disagreement inside the House and the Senate. What is not okay is for us to do it simply for the sake of being disagreeable. And I'm not. And we are going to work together. It was in my notes. I failed to mention it. The governor and I agree on water. The governor agrees with me that we need to do something about high school graduation rates. The governor and I agree that trauma care is needed and a funding source is needed, so much so that he thinks we ought to have an add-on on speeding fines. And you know what? While I initially did not think that was the best policy, I have agreed to allow that legislation to go forward. So if you want to start asking what we agree on, you would probably find the governor and I agree on far more than we disagree. There just seems to be a lot of conversations. I hope that does not overshadow the session. I am going to take up every one of these issues and everything the governor has, and I intend to vote on every one of them as soon as possible and as quickly as possible.
HB 900 will reduce funds for Georgia schools, says the questioner. HB 900 will raise the sales tax on goods and services in Georgia driving Georgia customers to neighboring states for cheaper prices. How will you help Georgia businesses cope with that?
Well, I think they meant H.R. 900, is House Resolution. It's the great plan. The first part of that question has an error. There will not be less money for education. There will be more 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 money for education. Period. Period, period. I do not know why people continue to say that there may be a cut in education. I've never offered that, never said that. I've always said there'll be at least as much as they have now, plus inflation. I think there'll even be more. And I think it's time to quit taxing objects like that table or these chairs or this podium and start taxing the exchange of wealth, consumption tax. The idea that somehow people in border communities are going to flee and spend their money outside of the state is false. When we came in, and the very first bill I did for the governor was we increased taxes on tobacco. Anybody remember that? Very first bill. And here is what I was told. Boy, if you raise the price of cigarettes, if you put that tax, everybody in every border community will go get their cigarettes in another state. Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, South Carolina, North Carolina. We won't sell any cigarettes on the borders. Literally, that's what they said. They argued that if we raise that tax that much, nobody would do that. Well, guess what? It wasn't true. Most people do not let their decisions about purchasing be defined by whether they're paying a tax or not, but by this simple measure. Where's the closest store that I like to go in? And so I don't believe that is a correct statement. Will there be some people that say, I think I'll go across the border and buy my refrigerator because I can save $10? Sure. But are they going to drive 50 miles when gas is $3 a gallon? No, I hope not. And if they do, I hope they buy all the gas in Georgia.
Okay, this is an interesting question. Given the urgency of the educational issue, water, transportation, and trauma care, what can you do as Speaker to keep the legislature focused on the real issues instead of spending time on political sideshows such as expanding gun rights?
Well, sometimes in a question you can make a supposition, and I disagree with the supposition, and I could say, no, maybe. I mentioned the big issues. At the time we're taking on the big issues, there's some smaller issues out there that we need to handle. Some of those are gun issues. Some people would say those are smaller. But for a person who feels that their right to carry a firearm is the most important to them, it is the most important issue to them. We're going to handle more than the issues I set forth. And one of them we're going to do is we're going to take up that gun bill. And there's some conversations about whether a few things ought to be added in there. And I'll give you one example, and it's a pretty good one that's apropos. Under current Georgia law, if I have a license, and I do, to carry a firearm concealed, I am prohibited from carrying that into a state park. So if in the instance of the young lady who was recently brutally murdered in a state park, if she had wanted to have a firearm on her person to protect herself, it would have been a crime for her to do so. And that's sad. If you have a right to carry a gun, you ought to have a right to carry the gun in the state park. You shouldn't be able to hunt in the state park, but if you have the right, you should. We ought to take that up and handle that and fix that in the law. It's a holdover from the days when people thought if you carried a gun into a state park, you were hunting. And it is indeed sad that we're at a day and time that you would need to have to even think about carrying a gun to protect yourself, to walk through a state park. But, you know, just within the last year, I can think of this lady and one other lady that were killed on what amounted to be park property because some miscreant thought that they would attack them. Wouldn't it have been nice if either of those had had a gun and just took care of that right there? And it's really sad that those families have to go through that. But it brings to mind, and so yes, that may be a small issue to some. It's a big issue to some. And yes, we're going to do some of those issues. We will do some things that at times I will think are quite unimportant, and you will as well. We're going to recognize groups from high schools in places you've never heard of for winning championships you never thought possible. But I'm going to tell you what I found. Those people that get recognized at that moment think it's the most important event for them because they got to come to our Capitol and be recognized. We do a lot of pomp and circumstance, and we do a lot of things that some people think are meaningless and others think are very meaningful. And at the same time, we're going to do very important issues like water, education, taxes, transportation, trauma care, and other things that I haven't even mentioned, like a $22 billion or so budget that's coming up very soon.
Time for one more question.
Sure.
What do you think about Rudy Giuliani's strategy to pin his presidential hopes on Florida?
Well, thank you for that question. Now, whoever asked that question, just say, did you know that I'm the statewide chair for Mayor Giuliani? If you didn't, I am. And listen, I have a simple philosophy. I think Rudy Giuliani, while he's got weaknesses, has many strengths. And I think it's going to be a good idea. I think he's going to come out of Super Tuesday ahead of the pack. And I say that even though I heard today some national poll has him like fourth. And I think you're going to see how the dynamics of presidential politics work. I think his strategy is going to prove to be correct, and I think that he's the right leader at the right time for this country. There's a lot of good candidates in the field, but obviously I support Mayor Giuliani very overwhelmingly, and I've lent my name to his campaign. I've worked for him, and I've given of my personal money, and I believe his strategy is going to prove to be correct. Thank you very much for your questions. You didn't ask the question that I asked.
Never mind.
You know, if I have to think about whether I say it, my communication staff has amply warned me, if I think twice about it, don't say it. So I won't. Thank y'all very much.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. The Atlanta Press Club is going to say thank you by making a small donation to your favorite charity. Thank you all for coming today. We're adjourned.